Right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a real blessing to be here with you all this morning. Thankful for His goodness to us. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father. Help us be faithful to you. We ask you to fill us with your spirit, give us wisdom and understanding. We open your word, Father, apply it to our hearts and minds and bodies, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to just begin. I want to get to some verses later on in the chapter, but I want to read the whole chapter just kind of to further begin at the first. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside in aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. I appreciate these smaller books in the Bible. They're often overlooked a lot, but these are the men who walked with Christ while he was on the earth. They lived with him, they ate with him, they worked with him, they were there. They failed him. They stood by him, and most of them died because of being a part of him. So I just appreciate that. He's given these greetings to the people scattered abroad who reside as aliens. He gives a list of the people living at the time, but the message is to those living in not only different places, but different ages. And according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Here we have the gospel. You know, the hearing the words of Jesus. We talk about faith. And I've said it many times. Faith is our response to God's claim on our life. All through the Bible, whenever someone is talked about having faith, it is because he's responding to God's claim on his life. And that's what you and I, having heard God's call, God's claim on our life, not just be saved. That's what, you know, church turns into religion on one aspect of it, is just you hear faith and you just get saved. But this faith is a sanctifying work of the Spirit. It's a continual work of the Spirit to obey Christ Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood. We sang about the blood this morning, and it broke the power of sin, broke the power of death. And Christ, having risen, has that power to set us free. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Here again, just some. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us to be born again in a living hope. And that, like I said, born again is, you know, there's a lot of talk about that. There's a lot of people say they're born again, and they may feel better. They may change some things. But born again is being restored to what God wants us to be. When God created Adam, he made a man. And that man failed. And when Jesus came, he came as that second Adam. He came as a man. We've got Jesus pictured, you know, as some. But he was a man just like you and I. He hadn't a fallen nature like you and I. But he was still created as a man and walked in this, felt, smelt, tasted, saw everything that you and I, the way we do. He had feelings like we did. And yet, he was faithful to the Lord all his life, all his days. That's what being born again is, to be restored to the image of God. Being like that, like him. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit later. So that in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. We've talked about that. You know that this life is hard for everyone. Some people turn to all different directions, you know, for comfort. But life is difficult for person that even looks like everything's going perfect. His life is difficult. He has hard things come to it. And it's just part of it. The difference is where we turn and what we do with those trials. Man, this week I went into a place and I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Well, it's Monday. I can't wait till this day's over." And I said, "Well, tomorrow will be here before you know it." You know, if our goal is only to get through the day, tomorrow will be here before you know it. And, you know, if we look at our problems a little that way, no matter what we're going through, tomorrow will be here before we know it. You know, and it does. Time just click, 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 just goes right on. But if we can have the courage and the grace just to have faith to go through whatever we're going through, we'll get through it. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those things we go through, like we talked about, if we can go through those things faithfully, and instead of turning to something to drown our problems or to get away from our problems, just turn to the Lord through our problems, that results in something more precious than gold, more valuable. "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." You know, I've said it before, joy is not everything going right and we're all happy. Joy is being able to have that peace and that rest when nothing's going right. That's where joy is. Joy is not just everything's going great. That's nothing at all. But joy is inexpressible and full of glory. That's what we're shooting for. obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Living life is tied to your faith. It's not a one-time thing. Your life is either tied to faith or it isn't. You know, one of the little boys, you know, just said the only thing we can control is our attitude, no matter what happens. We can still have a good attitude. We cannot control what the world throws at us. But through faith, we can keep our anchor resting in God and have that joy unspeakable, no matter what happens. We're so now-minded. You know, it just, I got to be comfortable now. And we sell ourselves way short a lot of times. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You know, these men walked with Christ. They saw him. They lived with him and they loved him. And they've given us a message of who he was and what he's all about. I want to maybe come back to that in just a minute. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look at. Here's just in the Old Testament, it predicted the things that he would go through and suffering, and people were looking for those things, trying to find him. And here he is. And it's through the preaching of him that we can understand and recognize who he is, and that's our goal. Oh, to be like him. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you to be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, we talk about the people that, and some of us at times, have been worried about being saved. And that's all our focus. Then you move into another group that all they talk about is holiness. And they're focusing, they're just so intent on being strict. And just there's a tension there. There's no peace in it. There's no joy in it. It's just strict. Difficult. I don't know how many people that I've talked to, you know, when you talk about the cross. I mean, old bishops, preachers, people who want to be preachers, tell about, when you ask them what the cross is, and I heard one man say, well, it's the teachings of Jesus. That's the cross. Another man said, well, it's the rules of the church that's a cross. And the problem is, it is a cross to them. Because they're missing something. They're missing the joy and the peace. You know, the teachings of God and the teachings of Jesus are not a burden. They're a blessing. But they're a burden for us if our heart's not in it. We're just doing it because we're supposed to. We're just trained that way or whatever. But being like Christ is the goal. He shows us these words. He shows us these teachings. Not because he's trying to make a rule book or a law. He did that. But that law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, to usher in the Christ. And his teachings, what he taught, are things that go to your very soul as the problem. Not as a rule book to live by, but he teaches you those things and he shows us these things to reveal our hearts to us. We're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're not born again by water. We're not born again because we said a prayer. We're born again because we're looking into this Word, this mirror, and it's showing us where our will is separated from God's will. We have people talk about holiness, and they try to pinch their lives into this holy, whatever they think of as being holy. Some of them just, they dress a certain way. Some of them, they live a certain way. Some of them, they do all these different things to, you know, the old times they would beat themselves with whips. Today we may dress different, and that makes us holy. Holiness comes from the inside, just like everything else. Religion tries to pile all this on the outside to make us look better or look different or look holy or feel holy. See, the problem is a lot of people don't feel very holy, so they've got to put all on the garb and the track just so they'll feel holy, because they're different. In Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the will of God. And it talks about being separate, not conformed to this world. So people take that and say, well, I'm going to be different. I'm going to drive a different colored car. I'm going to dress like they did 400 years ago. I'm going to do all these different kind of things so I won't look like the world. We've talked about the world. You know, we see it today in government. We've seen it all throughout history in governments. People trying to control other people. You know, we've seen it a few years ago with all the rules. Everybody, you couldn't go in. You couldn't go in without a mask. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything because of all these rules that somebody decides that somebody else ought to live by. And we call that's the world. And then we go to a church that there's somebody telling us all to do these things too, or we can't take communion with them. We can't have fellowship with them. And we call that holy instead of the world, like we do whenever it's on this hand. But we're talking about spirits here. They're the same spirit as the world. This one looks not conformed to the world, but acts just like this world in spirit. That's not what we're after. We don't want that. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Right there. We can be holy because we're trying to be religious. You know, we talked about all the shackles of sin that had no power over us anymore. They've been broken. And people come out of those shackles of sin and jump into the shackles of religion. It's safe. It's comfortable. They like the feel of shackles. Freedom takes guts. Freedom takes strength. Freedom takes you being a man. No. Or freedom takes you being a woman. Having to be able to stand on your own to make your decisions yourself. Being holy is being like Jesus. You know, it's, you know, if you just look at the life of Jesus and look at church, they don't fit very well together, do they? In most places. Jesus wasn't going around just making sure everybody did all this. He talks about their faith. He let people make mistakes. He let people make their choices. He let people be free. Being holy, being like Him. And He told us, you know, this, I think, verse 17 says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay here on earth. You know, we can take that verse and talk about holiness and just drill it in that you better be on the guard, being strict and never letting your guard down for a minute. But if we read this about being holy like Jesus is, we have that grace. The Spirit of God that's trying to teach us to be like Him. He wasn't all stressed out all the time because He wasn't measuring up. He was just being what He was supposed to be. Then you take that, and if you address the Father as one who impartially judges according to each one's work, there we go. We can just say, God is looking at you and every little thing you do. He's just ready to smack you in the next week. You better be on guard. See how you take that? But that's not what Jesus talked about, being God. He said, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, that flies right in the face. God is going to judge you by every, you better not think a bad thought. He's going to get you. But Jesus talks about a God that's going to judge us the way we judge others. Believe it or not, you and I are each creating our own judge. We're making the God that we're going to be judged by. And if it's not the God that Jesus talked about that wants us to be like Him, He's going to be just as strict as you want Him to be. That's who we're going to be judged by. We're creating our own judge. It's amazing how all-encompassing He is to be able to let us build our own fate. You know, some people say, well, you ain't got nothing to do with that. God's already picked it, and we're just little robots here. Well, you can pretend to be a robot until somebody tells you what to do, and you don't do it. You're not a very good robot. You've made a choice. We all know that we make choices and have choices. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that we are going to live by those choices and we're going to be judged by those choices. And like I said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Forgiving is based, whether we're forgiven is based on whether we've forgiven other people. It's just amazing how simple some of those things are. Yeah, we do conform to some of the teachings that the New Testament talks about, and there's a good reason for it. You don't throw out everything because somebody makes it a bad thing. You keep what's right and you do what's right. With Jesus as the head of it. You know, they've painted Jesus into, you know, he's just going to be this fierce, angry God. Or talk to the Father, it's just this fierce, angry God that's waiting to destroy us. And Jesus died so that he will be appeased. So he don't have to be mad at us anymore. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that will make you holy. The God that makes you holy is when you see who he is, like Peter talked about. This is who I'm telling you he is. When you see him and you want to be like him. You know, it's difficult. We find the Lord, we yield our wills to him, and the first thing we do is, well, we got to find a body of believers. And so we just go, and pretty soon we find out, well, wait a minute, they're just religious, even though they're not religious at all. And then we find stricter and stricter groups, and they get, well, they're more religious, but you still don't find this. You don't find Jesus. It's a difficult path. We're still on it. Just trying to sort it out. But our goal is to be like him. And when you're like him, and you're holy, because he's living within you and you're trying to be like him, you won't fit in anywhere. There's always a tension. There's always just this barrier that, you know, we try to be friendly, we reach out, we try to help people, we try to do good to people, and they appreciate it and they love it, but I'm going to stay back about this far from you. You can just never really get very close, even though we try. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, you just try and try and try to love people, and they just kind of stay away. Because our holiness is different than what just looks on the outside. It's that holiness of the Spirit of God. But sure, yeah, it'll change a few things on the outside. But that doesn't change. It comes from the inside. And we're like him, and we want to obey him. We want to listen to him. And it's a joy to draw near to him and be like him. That's where our hope is. You know, we look at all kinds of religions, and they have a lot of the same things. You know, people talk about the Bible, and it's every word of it's true, you know. But when you look for him in it, and we hear Him. We love this book because what He's teaching is something higher and better than anything we've ever found. And there's a power, and there's a peace, and there's a joy that comes with it. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. A Christian is someone who is being like Jesus in this earth. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not perfect in that sense. But being perfect the way God talks about being perfect is responding to other people the way God does. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessings. We have to, may we strive to be like Him. You don't have anything you'd like to share?
It's almost like another repeating from Matthew 48, to be perfect, the Father said.
Mm-hmm. That's the verse I was trying to think of.
Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay. On earth is in italics there, but it's a stay here. So for the assignment for the young people next week, give us a story of someone who you felt conducted themselves in this way, in the way that Brother David portrayed this morning, during the time of their stay, particularly thinking they were conscious that it was just a stay here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else have anything?
Appreciate the message. It's a joy. I serve the Lord. And the concept of Christ, goodness, it just, it's so different than anything else to serve. Reminds me of a woman that, when she first heard the gospel in a remote area of the world, she said, "I always knew that I had to get God right."
That's the Lord.
I was singing at Mount Vernon at 2:30, and then I went to Lakoba after that.
All right, well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you till we meet again.